Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. This recording is the 13th recording, and it's taken us 13 recordings to really get into the writing of the book of The Secret of the Love of God, meaning that the first 76 pages were accounts or were transcriptions from Sidi's classes all over the country in 2006. And this reading and recording is going to highlight, I think we'll be able to read either the first two or the first three up to, in the reading and writing of the book, we're up to page 89, but we'll see. I don't want to have it be too long a recording. So, inshallah. Let's begin with the Fatiha, and then we'll go right into the reading itself. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين From page 77, this chapter is titled The Love of Allah, Al-Hub Lillahi. Praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may the peace and blessings be upon our Master, Sayyidina Muhammad, who was sent as a mercy for all the worlds. The leader of the lovers, Al-Muhibbin, and the beloveds, Al-Mahbubin. And may Allah's blessings be upon his companions, Wa-Ishaba, his loved ones, and all those who follow his way until the day of resurrection, Yom HaDin. Know, my beloved, may Allah grant you access to his love, that there is nothing existing as essence, or as contingent form, or as a quality, or as a meaning in the realm of accidental existence that is not supported by divine reality in respect to its relationship to the everlasting presence, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without dependence on the divine reality, it would not have manifested nor would it have been known. This includes love in all of its forms, al-hub, fi al-aqwam, in all the universe. For in spite of the different levels of love, everything returns to the reality of Allah's love, which is the origin of the existence of love in all of its forms. But as eons passed and hearts hardened, people became confused about all matters. Meanings were lost. The traces and images of divine love were hidden from them. The disagreeable became commonly accepted, and all that which was commonly acceptable became denied and rejected. All values became meaningless or remained in a faded state. Values began to be weighed by the standards of today and not by the balance of the truth. Mawazin al-haq. Human beings became unable to discriminate between faith gained by science or knowledge, ilm, and faith gained by direct taste, dhaq. And they became unable to discriminate between true love, ishq hakiki, and illusory love, ishq majazi. We're between knowing a quality and establishing that quality by the one attributed with it. Moreover, human beings became unable to discriminate between true yearning or deceptive yearning. The reference to faith gained by knowledge, ilm, refers to when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the truth, al-haq, ordered his prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his saying, know that there is no deity except Allah. فَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا لَخَ إِلَّا لَهُ Quran 47:19. And also in his saying, and that they may know that he is the one God, 14:52. On the other hand, Allah brings to attention the truth of faith gained by direct experience, dhaq, in his saying, they only are believers whose hearts tremble with awe whenever Allah is mentioned, and whose belief is strengthened whenever his signs, his ayat, are recited to them, and who put their trust in their Lord. Quran 8:2. And also in his saying, Allah has sent down the most beautiful message in the form of a book which is fully consistent with itself, in which promises of reward are paired with promises of punishment, which causes the skins of those who fear their Lord to shiver, then their skins and their hearts soften to the remembrance of Allah. Quran 39:23. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes evidence pointing to the truth of one's faith. He mentions both the sensory, hasiya, and the heartfelt, inner, kalbiya, balance, mawazin. He mentions both the sensory and the heartfelt, inner balance that testifies to the faith of the worshipful slave, the abd. Quran 23:102-3. There is no need for an external balance to weigh one's faith, because people have an inner insight of their own. Therefore, whoever is actualized in their inner being by the qualities mentioned by Allah, and whose outer manifestation testifies in conformity with their inner being, then they have accepted with contentment Allah as their Lord and Islam as their religion, their deen. This is why the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, whoever is pleased with Allah as Lord and Islam as his religion has tasted the sweetness of faith. Here, tasting is the testimony of faith, witnessing the taste and witnessing its sweetness. This is faith gained by direct experience, not by knowledge, ilm. The people who possess faith by tasting, iman al-dhaq, are the true believers to whom Allah grants support and confirmation. For he responds to what is true with what is real. Also, all the stations, the maqamat, the stations of companionship, trust and reliance, tawakkul, renunciation, zud, piety, wara, fear, khauf, hope, raja, modesty, haya, honesty, amana. All the stations of companionship, trust, reliance, renunciation, piety, fear, hope, modesty, honesty, etc., have standards and evidence, but their realities are absent from people's minds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah will bring forth another people whom he loves and who love him. Quran 5:54. He also says to his beloved prophet, say, If you truly love Allah, then follow me and Allah will love you. Quran 3:31. Allah does not make the worshipful slave love without showing proof of his love, or without manifesting evidence of his love, or without having a witness. He places the condition of following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam to gain his love. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam also said, "None of you believe until I become more beloved to him than his wealth, his children, his family, and the self that is between his sides." It is also narrated in Hadith Qudsi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "My worshipful slave will continue to draw closer to me by voluntary actions until I love him." Love is then a divine station, maqam ilahi, by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attributes himself. He named himself the most affectionate, al-wadud. It is narrated that Allah revealed to Musa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "O child of Adam, I have created you for my sake, and I have created things for your sake. So do not disgrace that which I created for myself with that which I created for you." And also, "O child of Adam, it is your right from me that I be a lover for you. So by my right from you, be for me a lover." Love is mentioned in the Quran and in the Sunnah as the right of Allah upon creatures and the right of creatures upon Allah. All types of lovers are mentioned as well as their qualities. In addition, Allah mentions the qualities that he does not like and the types of people whom he does not like, as he said to his messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, commanding all of us, O Muhammad, say, "If you truly love Allah, then follow me and Allah will love you." Quran 3:31. He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, also says, "O you who have attained to faith, whoever from amongst you abandons his faith should know that Allah will bring forth another people whom he loves and who love him." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the qualities of his beloveds, saying, "Surely Allah loves those who turn back from evil, at-tawabin, and he loves those who purify themselves, al-mutatahayin. He also loves those who excel in doing good, al-mushinin, those who rely on him, al-mutawakkilin, and he loves the steadfastly patient, as-sabirin, the grateful ones, as-shakrin, and the charitable ones, al-mutasaddiqin. On the other hand, Allah does not like the corruptors, al-mufsidin, the oppressors, al-dalimin, the rejectors and deniers of the truth, al-kafirin, the extravagant ones, al-musrifin, nor the transgressors, al-fahasikin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made faith an endearing quality to us and beautified it within our hearts. He subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "But Allah has endeared the faith to you and beautified it in your hearts." Quran 49:7. Love is mentioned in many places in the Quran, and it is also mentioned in numerous ahadith. It's narrated in Hadith Qudsi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "I was a hidden treasure and I loved, ahbabtu, to be known. So I created the creatures and made myself known to them, so they knew me. We have been created only for him, not for ourselves. This is why reward is always tied to action. Our actions are for us and not for him. And our worship is for him and not for us. Worship is not the same as action." Nonetheless, all manifested actions of creatures are originally created by him. So he is the original doer, and beautiful actions are related directly to him out of good manners, in spite of the fact that all actions, good or evil, are originally from him. This is expressed in his saying, and by the soul and that which shaped it and inspired it both to lasciviousness and to consciousness of Allah. Successful is the one who purifies it, and failed is the one who buries it and sins. 91:7-11. He also says, Allah created you and what you make. 37:96. And Allah is the creator of everything. 6:102. Which includes the actions of people. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the best action of those who try to approach me is the performance of what I have ordered. My servant does not approach me with anything that I love more than the works I have prescribed for him. And he continues to approach me with supererogatory works until I love him. Then when I love him, I am his hearing with which he hears, his sight by which he sees, his hand with which he takes hold, his foot with which he walks, and my love rightfully belongs to those who love one another in my majesty. Hadith Qudsi. Second chapter. Love is the cause of the world's existence. Al-hub sabba wa jud al-alam. Know that it is narrated in Hadith Qudsi that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, spoke about that which he heard directly from his Lord, saying, I was a hidden treasure and I loved Ahbabtu to be known. So I created the creatures and made myself known to them, so they knew me. Allah mentions himself by the breath of the universally merciful, Nafas ar-Rahman. When he says, and I love to be, we spontaneously know what the lover finds within himself of love's reality and of that which is related to it. And we know that love is not related save to that which is missing and contingently exists, but is yet apparent non-existence in this created state. The world is accidental, Hadith. Allah was and nothing was with him, so love was the cause of the world's existence, and listening, Sama'i, was its immediate cause. By that love, breathing occurred, and the world manifested the breath of the universally merciful Ar-Rahman to relieve love's demand. And the world breathed what a lover finds in relation to the beloved. That breath came forth out of the original love within the creatures, and it is that which wants to become known to them, to be recognized by them. So the unseen, al-ghaib, that was in pre-existence is named the truth by which the creation is established. This unseen is the essence of the world, and so it accepts all the pictures of the world, its spirits, and its nature, for it is accepting without end. The unseen is of his breath, and the pictures expressed as the world came out of the creative word, be. Love is then a noble station because it is the origin of existence, and therefore knowledge of the world is Allah's knowledge of himself. And if there is no absolute existence but his, then nothing in the universe manifests except in accordance with what is within himself. So the universe is subsequently his image, and the image of the universe is in accordance with the divine presence that is the named, and there is no name in the divine presence, but its effect and trace is manifested in originating the universe without lack or excess. So Allah created the universe with ultimate perfection and accuracy, and there is no other possibility of a more excellent universe than this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then informs us of his creation of Adam in his image, which means that the human being is therefore a microcosm of the macrocosm. Allah made the universe compatible with his divine names, as if he had been hidden and became manifested by the universe. So he knew himself, witnessing through manifestation, as he says, I loved Ahbab to be known. And by me they recognize me, because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifests the universe with his vision, it is his epiphany, tajalli. He does not see anything within the universe but his beauty, because the universe is Allah's beauty, and he is the beautiful who loves beauty. It is narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed, Allah is beautiful and he loves beauty. Allah brought the universe into existence in a state of utmost beauty and perfection and creative excellence. Indeed, he loves beauty, and there is no beauty but him, so he loves himself. Then he loved to see himself, so he created the world in the image of his beauty. And he looked at the world and loved it with the love of one whose look is binding. Indeed, the whole universe is beautiful, and Allah loves that beauty. The divine names are seen in relation to that beauty, and he is named the loving Al-Wadud. His love is constant, for it is a continuous expression of affection. There is no other possibility except that Allah loves the world. Could the Maker dislike his own creation? We are made by him. He is our creator, and the creator of our provision, and the creator of everything. What is made is a manifestation of the knowledge of the Maker, who knows the very essence of creation, which reveals his power, his beauty, his glory, and his pride. If you say that creation is not a manifestation of these qualities, then what is it pointing at? And with what is it pointing? And for what reason was it made? We are existence, and his love is within us, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, abundantly praising his Lord. Indeed, we only exist with him, and we belong to him. Love is the presence of the gentle, courteous grace, Hadarat al-Lutf. And for this I say, without love, there would be no affectionate expression, and without poverty, the one who bestows grace would not have been worshipped. We are completely by him and completely for him. Out of my affectionate expression of love, I rely on him. If God wills the existence of a particular essence, Ayn, it is by this essence that he has willed it to be, and so resistance of not becoming passes away. So we were with you in your place, and we showed no hesitation in getting there. But the one who gave the universe its qualities is the one who benefits. Out of love's vision issued the universe's essence, and that which brought it forth and particularized it as the affectionate expression of love. In reality, Allah exists eternally as the loving and the affectionate. Every day he is about some business. Quran 55:29. There's no meaning for loving except this. We are by the tongue of our state, and the tongue of our speech says to him, do whatever you want. You are Al-Qadir, the able, to do everything you want. Allah is the doer, and this is the ruling of the quality of loving in him. And he is the ever-forgiving Al-Ghafur and the loving Al-Wadud, Lord of the glorious seat of absolute authority. 85:14-16. And he is well established upon it by the name, the universally merciful Ar-Rahman. Nothing attracts mercy except the fondness of the lover, which is refined yearning to meet the beloved. This is what every lover is searching for, because the law of love demands unity between the lover and his beloved. This is why the truth is named by the unifying name Allah, for He is the one who gathers everything to Himself by you, because of His love for you, and you are the beloved. Know that the truth does not meet the world except by His quality, the presence, and so He gave existence to the universe. But if He had more than this to give to His beloved, He could not be described as a miser, al-bakhil. If He withheld it, al-mania, He who holds back is not the holding back of miserliness, because this possibility would negate the divine qualities of generosity and grace. He has informed us that He is the ever-forgiving, al-ghafur, the loving al-wadud, which means that His love is constant. As He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, sees us, He sees His beloved and rejoices. The whole universe is like one human being to Allah, and that human being is the beloved. The people in this universe are the cells of that one human being. The beloved is not attributed as beloved by the love of His lover, but He is beloved in Himself for no other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the ever-forgiving al-Ghafur and the loving al-Wadud, Lord of the glorious seat of absolute authority, doer of what He wills, Quran 85:14-16. He is the loving and the doer of what He wants, for He is the beloved. He does what He wants by His lover. The lover listens and obeys, ready for what His beloved wants, because He is the loving al-Wadud, meaning the constant and meeting what love demands in accordance with its conditions. The essence here is one, because it is the affectionate lover who is the doer of what He wills. Thus, I say, she whom existence is by her being is the essence whose speech sanctifies her meaning. I am fond of her and love her nearness to me, and fond of everyone who is fond of her. If I actually died, her existence would die by my death, for my existence is her vision and another than her. How marvelous is us then, and how marvelous is she, for our presence is indivisible, and there is no second. Who then would make a duality of her? Page 85, the third chapter, Godly Love, Al-Mahabba Lillahi. Know, my beloved, that godly love, Al-Hub Lillahi, is when Allah loves us for ourselves and for Himself. His love for us for Himself is expressed in His saying, I was a hidden treasure, and I loved Ahbabtu to be known. So I created the creatures and made myself known to them, so they knew me. He has not created us but for Himself. Also His saying, and I did not create the jinn and the humans except to worship me, Quran 51:56, means that He has not created us but for Himself. Allah created the creation to glorify Him, and so He made them able to utter praises of exaltation, tasbih, for Him, praising Him, subhanAllah, and prostrating to Him. And He made us recognize this by saying, the seven heavens and the earth and all that is within them glorify Him. And there is not anything that does not exalt Him by His praise, 1744. Meaning that the creation praises Him by Him and by what issues forth from Him. These glorifications, tasbih, are intuitive, spontaneous, and identical because they are the direct result of the divine epiphany, tajalli, by which He reveals Himself to the creation. And so the creation intuitively loves Him and sends praise upon Him without pretension because of the spontaneous self-demand taking place without cause. Such is the spontaneous essence of worship in which Allah establishes it within the creatures by the ordinance of his praiseworthiness, which he deserves. The whole world is in a station of witnessing, makam ash-shuhud, and worship, ibadah, including the creatures that have no ability to think except for the human and jinn souls who have the ability of free expression. But this exception is related to their particular egos and not to their forms, because their forms are like the rest of the universe, singing the hymns of glorification of Allah in prostration to him. All of the body's organs express this glorification of him, and all of this is out of his love for himself. Whoever fulfills his purpose, he thanks him, and whoever does not fulfill his purpose, he punishes him. For his self is beloved to him, and his glorification and praise is beloved to him. Regarding his love for us, this is expressed through his informing us of the actions that lead to our happiness and salvation, and also of the actions that are not in conformity with our purpose nor compatible with our nature. He reveals what is beneficial for us in the lower world and in the final world, and establishes evidence for us that leads to gnosis, in order that we can recognize him and not be ignorant of him. Furthermore, he continues to provide us with gifts in spite of our negligence in abiding by his laws after our knowledge of him. He has also established evidence that his provision is of his creation and returns to him. He has not brought gifts into being except for us to enjoy them and to abide by his laws. After enjoying excellence, ihsan, we do not thank him, even though reason demands that we should be grateful for his gifts. We know that there is no excellence in good except for Allah, and out of his excellent benevolence, he sent down a messenger to us from himself to teach and discipline us. Through the messenger, he informs us of our unique place in himself. And so he establishes for us the way that leads to our happiness and clarifies it for us and warns us of what is destructive. Allah then establishes proofs of the messenger's truthfulness and brings clear evidence, casting into our hearts the light of faith, making faith lovable to us and beautifying it within our hearts, while making wickedness and disobedience intuitively distasteful to us. Thus we believe and have faith. He then grants us success and uses us in what is pleasing to him. Thus we know that except for his love for us, none of this would have been. Moreover, his mercy encompasses his wrath, so that whoever enters a state of distress, divine mercy and divine care includes him in the original love. Because love takes precedence over everything, and the word of this truth is actualized, and mercy encompasses wrath, and because this lower world is a place of suffering and veiling by the decree of the Almighty, the All-Knowing, he creates the final abode and takes us to it. There is no room there for false claims. All will affirm his lordship as they did within the loins of Adam's backbone. In this lower world, the dunya, we are between two places, as in the pre-eternity and the final abode. The two places that affirm oneness, but in between them, polytheism is the accidental within the constant presence. So the middle state becomes the weakest. This is expressed by the polytheists in their saying, "We only worship them," as in the idols, to bring us closer to Allah through flattering the contingent existence. So they affirm Allah's, subhanahu wa ta'ala's, absolute glory and pride even in their polytheism. Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, then informs us that he has put a lock upon every heart that appears to his folk, with the qualities of arrogance and oppression. This is a manifestation of his caring because it means that they find within themselves only what essential gnosis imprints within them, humility and submission, because of the divine imprint, the lock upon their heart. If arrogance with Allah enters the heart of a creature, even though the quality of conceit outwardly appears upon him, he still retains a pure garment underneath. And this material defilement or imperfection does not become internal. He still feels humility and submits to the truth within. This is out of Allah's mercy and love for his creation. The final return is to pure happiness because the middle phase is weakened by the strengthening of the two places. The person is ultimately overcome by the eternal purity of the truth. So the two abodes become full, and within each abode he bestows gifts for its people to enjoy after he purifies them of suffering. This is what it means to attain grace by purification. But there is another type of people upon whom the limits of the final abode shall be actualized in the fire, so that they may be purified. Then mercy will be bestowed upon them in the fire because of the precedence of the care of love, even though they shall not exit the fire. Does the love of Allah have a beginning and an end so that it can be called accidental? Allah's love for his creation has no beginning and no end, and it does not befit it to be considered accidental or passing away. But the vision of his love for his people, including the advanced and the hindered ones, is his vision of their annihilation in him, because they are known to him, and he is witnessed by them. He is the ever-loving with them, and within them he is pre-eternal, and as he was without renewal and without any new ruling concerning him that was not there before. He continually loves his creation, and he continually knows them as he has always has. Thus his saying, "I loved to be known," means that he makes himself known to us by what has always been within himself. This is the perfection that befits his majesty that cannot be fully comprehended. Glory be to him. He's the ever-acting, the ever-creating. Each particular essence is non-existence in its own eyes, but known to him and bringing it to existence is beloved by him. There's no beginning to his presence, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so there's no beginning to his love for his creation. The remembrance of love happens to the beloved when gnosis is realized, not when love begins, because love has always been. From another perspective, if we say that godly love has a beginning, then its beginning is the divine release of the beloved's vision. Therefore, describe love as you want, as accidental or not, because love is no more than the vision of love, and there is nothing in existence but a lover and a beloved. Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentions the qualities of whom he loves and the traces of the godly love within them. His attribute is the oft-returning, the acceptor of repentance, at-tawwab. And it is one of his names. He says, truly, he is the oft-turning in forgiveness. 254. He has not loved anything but his own name and his own attribute, and he loves the worshipful slave because he is qualified with his names. But the worshipful slave is qualified by them only according to the limit that the truth relates to him. This is because the truth returns to his worshipful slave in any state that drives the slave away from Allah, which is called sin or disobedience or rebellion. If the slave turns in acknowledgement of the reality of offending those who are his equals and like him, and he is excused, and by benevolence and the overlooking of his offense, then this is the manifestation of the oft-returning, the acceptor of repentance, At-Tawwab. In reality, it is not the slave who returns to Allah, for it is not befitting to the truth that he returns to Allah, except for one who becomes ignorant of the fact that Allah is with him in every state. His saying, return to Allah, speaks to those who are unaware that Allah is actually with them in every state. If you are the oft accepting of repentance of those who violate your rights, Allah is the oft accepting of your repentance for your violation of his rights. So he returns to you with excellence, Ihsan. Allah mentions his love for the oft accepting of repentance right after mentioning the vulnerability which he made manifest the most during menstruation. As the lover returns to his beloved spouse after a period of physical vulnerability that separated them, the beloved returns to his loving state after a period of spiritual vulnerability caused by his wrongdoing. Also, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah loves every person afflicted with madness, maftun, who always returns. This means the one whom Allah tries by exposing him to the offenses of people, but who always responds with excellence, ihsan, in spite of their offenses. Such a person is the oft-returning At-Tawwab. This does not mean that the worshipful slave is tried by being exposed to disobedience. Allah forbids what does not befit him. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.